Turning tonight, if you haven't already turned there, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And let me remind you again that the baptismal service that we had scheduled for tonight, Lord willing, will be next Sunday night, immediately following the service. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and let's read at verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you tonight that you would take us into your mind and heart concerning these verses. We believe that there is great treasure here, treasure that only you can reveal by the power of your Spirit. And we pray that he would be our teacher tonight. We thank you for this place and for the great blessing that it has been in our lives over these many years. And we pray that you would continue to use it, use this place and strengthen it for your glory until you come. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the difficulties in preaching is that you can't ever say everything that needs to be said in one single message. I think if you tried to do that, then people would be giving their seats to somebody as the clock wore on into the evening. Last week, we began talking about this 15th verse and some of the implications of it as we considered the subject, the way things ought to be. Paul says here that the house of God, which is the church of the living God, is the pillar and ground of the truth. He's talking about the local New Testament church. And he's telling us that the local New Testament church is the pillar and ground of the truth. As Pastor Kelly explain those words, it's the pillar for the support of truth. It's the ground for the spreading of truth. And the thought that we considered last week is that based on the Word of God, based on this verse, 1 Timothy 3:15, based on the pattern that we find in the New Testament, the work of God here in the world was intended by God to be done by the local church, not by ministries outside of the local church that take it upon themselves to act as the place that is the pillar and ground of the truth. The first reason that we talked about as to why this is the way things ought to be is money. We noted, according to the Barna Group, and I mentioned last week that the Barna Group is an organization that does spiritual, I guess we could say, research into churches, research on spiritual trends, cultural trends. And we mentioned that for the year 2000, which is the latest year that they had detail for, the aggregate giving to religious organizations other than a church was nearly $9 billion. He also noted in his survey that 63% of evangelicals gave to a religious organization other than a church or worship center. and the average of those gifts to ministries outside of the local church was $502 per adult. Or to put it another way, of the total money that the average evangelical gives to the Lord's work in a year, almost 20% is given to ministries outside of the local church. But then we got a little more specific. We mentioned 9 ministries that many evangelicals support. Focus on the Family, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, the Bible Broadcasting Network, In Touch Ministries, Turning Point, Through the Bible Radio Network, Insight for Living, Grace to You, and Jack Van Impe Ministries International. And we noted that in a typical year, these 9 ministries take in a little over $383 million. Money that is taken out of local churches. And then when you consider, according to Barna's survey, and his survey found that 32% of born-again Christians say that they tithe. But what he found when you compare the giving to the income figures, he found that in reality only 12% of born-again Christians actually tithe. And so when you consider that, and when you couple that with the fact that nearly 20% of the money that is given to ministries outside of the local church, then you realize that the typical local church is getting considerably less than the tenth. Now, that's all the review that we're going to do tonight. And what I'd like to do for the rest of this message is to address a couple of points that we didn't have time to get to last week. And as a result, there have been some good questions asked that we need to try and address. I say address and not answer because we may not answer them. I don't know. We want to try. In a message that he preached several years ago, in fact, it's one of the messages in his book, Problems in the Christian Home, Pastor Kelly talked about what he called relative revelation. And he defined that term this way: the relative importance of any given subject here in the Word of God is revealed by the volume of teaching that is to be found in the Bible on that particular subject. And he went on to point out that there are over 1,550 verses in the New Testament on the subject of giving. Now, what impressed me about that number is 2 things. Number one, that there were that many verses in the New Testament on giving. But the second thing that impressed me is that he counted them. And I'll guarantee you, he counted them. And he preached this message in a time when there were no personal computers. There was no online Bible or eSword or any of those programs available to believers. So if you were going to count the number of verses in the New Testament on giving, you had to spend a lot of time reading, speed reading, or going through the concordance. And I was very impressed. And I'm sure that that is the right number that he came up with. But his point was that, relatively speaking, that makes the subject of giving pretty important for the Lord to devote over 1,550 verses to. And yet, based on the number of times that it is mentioned in the New Testament, how many messages do you hear on giving in this church? Proportionately, We don't put the same emphasis on it that God does here in His Word. We ought to be preaching more messages on giving. But tonight we're just going to, you're just going to get one. But let's think for a few minutes about the subject of giving. Turn back to the book of Genesis, if you will, to Genesis chapter 14. You remember that in this chapter, we have the first mention of war in the Bible. And the war between these kings, the king of Sodom and Gomorrah, and fighting against Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him. And you remember that Lot was taken captive from Sodom. And word comes to Abraham that his nephew has been taken captive. And Abraham arms his servants, and he goes and he divides himself against this tremendous multitude of enemy soldiers, and he routs them, he defeats them, and he delivers Lot, and he recovers all that had been taken. Well, that in mind, let's read at verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand." Now notice the last sentence of verse 20. "And he gave him tithes of all." That is, Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all. This is the first mention of tithing in the Bible. That makes it very important. And the first thing that we want to notice at this first mention is the last two words of this sentence. The Spirit of God could have said, "And he gave him tithes." And we would have understood what Abram did. But he adds these two little words, "of all." He gave him tithes of all. Folks, that is the whole issue in tithing. And God is teaching it to us at the first mention of this word. The whole principle of tithing is summed up in those two words, "of all." The giving of the tenth is just a recognition that all that we have comes from the Lord and belongs to the Lord. That's very important. It's a recognition that all that we have comes from the Lord and belongs to the Lord. And so whatever portion below a tenth that we give, we are in effect claiming that only that portion of what we make comes from the Lord. If we give 5%, then what we're saying is that only 50% of what we have comes from the Lord. The rest we somehow provided ourselves. The rest is due to our own provision. It's due to our own strength and our own work and our own intelligence. The second important thing that we see in this first mention of tithing is that Abraham is tithing here before the law was ever given. The law concerning tithing is not going to be given for somewhere in the neighborhood of 425 years. Tithing predates the law. That's a very important point to notice. It's a very important point to think about, because you run into people, and you're looking at one, by the way, that used to argue that tithing was under the law. And then I was listening to a message by my favorite preacher, Pastor Kelly, and he stuck me right in the heart with this passage of Scripture and with this point that tithing predates the law. It was a principle that was established by God from the beginning. And it was taught from generation to generation. Look at Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. We're reading about Jacob here. And it's in this chapter that he dreamed and saw the ladder with the angels of God ascending and descending on it. But notice what he says. Let's read it, verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Jacob had been taught tithing, and he had been taught it right. Notice his words here. Not only had he been taught to give the tenth, but he had been taught why. He had been taught that it represented, notice his words here, "of all that thou shalt give me." Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. In him we live and move and have our being. We owe him our life. We owe him our all. Jacob had been taught those things. "Of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Jacob had been taught that the giving of the tenth is a recognition that all that he had came from the Lord. That all that he had belonged to the Lord. And the recognition, the acknowledgement of that, was to give the Lord the tenth. But there's another principle that, and I guess I shouldn't use the word principle, I guess I should use the word thought, that I'd like for us to see in this verse. And again, we need to remember that what we are seeing here predates the law. Jacob says in verse 22, "And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house." Jacob says that where this stone is, that's going to be God's house. And then immediately, he talks about giving the tenth of all that God would give him. I believe there is an unmistakable connection suggested in that verse. The tenth, the tithe that he was going to give to the Lord. There was a physical, visible place. Well, there was going to be a physical, visible place to give this tenth to the invisible God. And that place was going to be the house of God. Folks, I don't believe that has changed in all of these years. If tithing was in effect before the law as a principle of giving, if it was in effect during the time of the law as a command of giving, as we're going to see, then it is in effect after the law. It's in effect today in the day of grace as a principle of giving. You cannot find in the Scriptures where it has been suspended. Now turn over to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Some of you don't need to turn. You know the verse we're going to look at. But you can turn there anyway if you like. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. We're going to keep along this thought of the place. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse." Now let's stop right there for just a minute. What is the storehouse? Someone might say, well, I think that focus on the family is a storehouse. Someone else might say that I believe that the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is a storehouse. Someone else might say that I believe that BBN or Through the Bible or Turning Point, those are storehouses as far as I'm concerned. But let's keep reading here because the Lord is going to tell us what the storehouse is. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house." In mine house. God says, my house is the storehouse for your tithes. And where's God's house today? Where's the place that is the storehouse for our tithes? It's the local New Testament church. The local church that is the pillar and ground of the truth. So based on these scriptures, I believe that our tithe is to go to the local church that we attend. Now, we want to contrast for just a minute the tithe in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, tithing was the law. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30 says, "All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." Verse 32 of that chapter says, "And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." Now, look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We mentioned this portion of Scripture last Sunday night in our study. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we read about the collection for the saints. And we learn some things in this chapter about giving, New Testament giving. And what we learn here, first of all, is that in contrast to the Old Testament law, in the New Testament, giving is a grace. Interesting contrast, law, grace. Look at verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Well, let's read it verse 6. "Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also, that as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." New Testament giving is a grace. It's not the law. It's a grace. In the Old Testament, giving was a divine requirement. In the New Testament, Christian giving is voluntary. And in contrast to the Old Testament requirement, New Testament giving is a test. Notice again verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now look at verse 8. I speak not by commandment. Here's our contrast again. At the end of verse 7, Paul says, I want you to abound in this grace of giving. And then, as we begin verse 8, we come across, I speak not by commandment. That's the difference between New Testament giving and Old Testament giving. Old Testament giving was by commandment. We find it in the law. As we think about it in the law. New Testament giving is by grace. It's a grace. I speak not by commandment, he says in verse 8, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. New Testament giving is a test. It is a test to prove the sincerity of our love. Now remember from last week in our review a few minutes ago, only 12% of born-again Christians tithe. 88% of born-again Christians are failing the test. The test that proves the sincerity of their love, they're failing it. Something to think about. We notice here in the New Testament that giving is to be proportioned to income. Keep your place here and turn back just a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I think we mentioned this verse last week. I don't think we turned to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now look back again at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. 'For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not.' New Testament giving is to be proportioned to income. The Old Testament proportion was the tithe. And it's worth remembering from Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20 and Genesis chapter 28 and verse 22 that tithing, that standard, that proportion predated the law. So it's in effect today. When God says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. When he says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The minimum that we are to lay by in store, the minimum that we are to purpose in our hearts and give, not grudgingly, not of necessity, but because to prove the sincerity of our love, the minimum proportion is the tithe. That is the starting point. And as Pastor Kelly said in a message one time, is that before taxes or after taxes? It's before everything. It's before everything. That's the starting point. And beyond that, over and above the tenth, we're to give offerings to the Lord. I believe that's suggested here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Paul says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap, or shall reap also bountifully." God blesses generosity. It should be our desire to sow bountifully, to give to the Lord over and above the tenth. Now, turn back again to Malachi chapter 3, if you're not tired of turning. Malachi chapter 3. And let's read it, verse 7. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7. "Even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." This is one of six places in the Old Testament where we find that tithes and offerings are two separate things. Offerings are the free will offerings that we set aside to give the Lord over and above the tenth. Now, as we've seen, the tenth is to be given to the local church. But what about our offerings? What are we supposed to do with our offerings? There's an interesting scripture that I'd like for us to look at. It's the last one we're going to turn to, I think. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 12. And I'd like for you to turn there. It's a verse of scripture I never noticed before. Lord willing, in the if you want to look on the bright side of this message tonight, Lord willing, in a relatively short period of time, we're going to be having a congregational meeting, and so you've had the warm up for the congregational meeting in this message tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 12, and notice verse 5 is where we want to read. "But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto this habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come." We're talking about the place where the Lord has chosen to put his name, the place that is his habitation. Now, look at verse 6. "And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your free will offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks." Now, think with me here just for a minute. The New Testament equivalent to the place that the Lord has chosen to put his name, the New Testament equivalent to the place that is his habitation. This was a physical place he was talking about here. I would suggest the New Testament equivalent of that is the local church. And so if we take the pattern here and apply it to the local church and apply it to New Testament giving that is voluntary, then we can bring not only our tithes here, but also our offerings here, or some portion of our offerings here. But suppose that after we give our tithe to this local church, we want to give some portion, or we want to give all of our offering, maybe every week or every month or from time to time, to another ministry. How are we going to determine what ministry we should give that money to? Well, the thought that I would suggest to you is that the test is right here. And the test is this. Is it a ministry where the Lord has chosen to put His name? That's the test. Now, you might disagree with what I'm fixing to say. And that's okay. Because I can be wrong. The bottom line is this. These are offerings to the Lord. And you can give them wherever you feel that the Lord wants you to. It's between you and Him. You're accountable to Him and Him alone. One of the things that I get very nervous about from time to time is legalism. And so legalism would say you've got to give every single penny that you give to the Lord, you've got to give it here, tithes and offerings. One of the things that sort of gets my hackles up in this community is to hear people say that this church is a cult. Well, if we're a cult, we're a poor one. We don't do a very good job living up to the name. And I say that to say this. The money that is your offering, I'm not talking about the tithe. Your offering, you can give wherever you want to give. But I do not believe that the Lord has chosen to put His name on any ministry that is in competition with the local church. I do not believe that the Lord has chosen to put His name on any ministry that is doing what the local church is supposed to do, what He commissioned the local church to do. I don't believe that the Lord has chosen to put His name on any ministry that puts itself in the place of, or puts itself forth as being the pillar and ground of the truth, doing that work. That work has been given to the local church to do. So where can you put your money that you've set aside as an offering for the Lord? I want to give you two recommendations beside this church. One is Return America. Brother Dwight talked about the need of Return America for a few minutes last week. Return America is a political organization. It is not doing the work of the local church. It is doing work for the local church. Tremendous difference. Return America is a 501c4 organization. And is that it can take political stands. It can get involved in politics in a way that this church or any other fundamental church can't. Because if we did, because of the Johnson Amendment back that was attached to a bill and became law in 1954, we could lose our tax-exempt status. And we could run into all kinds of trouble with the government. We could get into entanglements that we can't even imagine that are out there. I believe that the Lord has chosen to put His name on Return America. And it's worthy of your offerings that you've set aside for the Lord. Another ministry that I would recommend to you is the Christian Law Association. Again, they are not doing the work of the local church. They are doing work for the local church. The Christian Law Association provides free counsel. It provides churches with free access to some of the finest legal minds in this country. We've used them. It is a great blessing in this day and time to be able to say that we have a law firm. We have a law firm. We've used them. This church used them last year when we were attacked about this time a year ago, in fact, by the Moore County Republican Party. I believe that the Lord has chosen to put His name on that ministry. And I believe it's worthy of your offerings that you've set aside for the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand me. Those aren't the only two ministries out there. Those are just two that I feel are very critical and very important that are doing a real work for the Lord. Well, our time is gone. I know that this message might have been a little bit off of the subject of the way things ought to be. Maybe not. But I felt like we needed to address these things, and I hope that the message somehow serves to answer and not to confuse. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we pray that You might take these words that have been spoken tonight and make them a message that is clear to our hearts. And we pray that we might be those that have a desire to prove the sincerity of our love. We thank You for the faithfulness of Your people here. Their faithfulness to give money. We thank You for the way that You provide for our needs here. So many times and in so many ways that are just miraculous. And we thank You for the provision that You make for us. And we pray that You might continue to do that, that this ministry might be strong, not only spiritually, but that it might be strong financially. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.